Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the service this morning. In Psalm 105, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. Sing to him. Yes, sing his praises. Tell everyone about his wonderful deeds. Exult in his holy name. Rejoice, you who worship the Lord. Search for the Lord, and for his strength continually seek him. Remember the wonders he has performed, his miracles and the rulings he has given. You children of his servant Abraham, you descendants of Jacob, his chosen ones." And we come in our Zoom virtual environment once again to worship God, to sing his praises. Mark is going to be leading our service after our first song, and our first song is "All My Days, Beautiful Saviour."
To the fountain of delight, for Good morning to you all. It's lovely to see you and to be with you virtually again this morning. We're going to be looking at a couple of passages and reflecting on them as we go through our service this morning. But we'll begin with prayer. Let's pray together. Generous God, we come to you this morning from our different parts of Kingsthorpe and wider afield too. We come to you with our different experiences of this week, our different fears and anxieties, our different hopes and different dreams. But we come united in the one who is our beautiful Saviour, the one who is the wonderful Counsellor, one who is the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ himself, who came to live amongst us to heal, to teach, and to die and rise again for us all. So, Lord, we come to you this morning, united in our faith, seeking to listen to what you have to say to us, and being ready to respond in the way you guide us. We thank you, Lord, for the love which we share in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So we'll come to our first reading, which by the miracle of modern technology is being beamed to us from all the way from Stubble Close. Bob was going to read us a passage from Jonah. Thank you, Bob.
The reading is from Jonah, chapter 3, verse 10, and chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. When God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. "Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I know that you are merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen." The Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry about this?" Then Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city. And the Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there, and soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased his discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But God also arranged for a worm. The next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it withered away. And as the sun grew hot, God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. "Death is certainly better than living like this," he exclaimed. Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry because of the plant died?" "Yes," Jonah retorted, "even angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city?"
Thank you, Bob. So we're going to sing two more songs now. And we'll begin with "I Worship You, Almighty God," and then we'll run straight into "Jesus, We Enthrone You." "I Worship You, Almighty God."
"I There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness.
Midst of us. Jesus Christ, we welcome you.
So our second reading from our lectionary choices this morning is from Matthew. And Catherine, I hope you got your breath back from coming back from St. Andrew's this morning. Over to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, it's rather strange reading a reading that you've already heard in another service. But anyway, it is Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them that he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. So they went to work in the vineyard. At noon and again at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. At 5 o'clock that afternoon, he was in town again and saw some more people standing around. He asked them, "Why haven't you been working today?" And they replied, "Because no one hired us." The landowner told them, "Then go out and join the others in my vineyard." That evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage. And when those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more, but they too were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested to the owner, "Those people worked only 1 hour, and yet you've paid them just as much as you paid us, who worked all day in the scorching heat." He answered one of them, "Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I am kind to others? So those who are last now will be first then, and those who are first will be last."
Thank you, Catherine. So some reflections on those passages that we've heard this morning. The reading from Jonah, it's not the normal Jonah and the whale story that we know from our childhood. It's towards the end of the book of Jonah that passage occurs. And the whole of the book of Jonah is about this man who first of all receives God's word to go and preach to the people of Nineveh, but disobeys and runs in the opposite direction. he goes, or tries to go west towards Spain, when he's supposed to be going to Nineveh in the opposite direction. And we know the story, he's swallowed up, he's saved from being consumed by the whale or the big fish, and then he is sent on his way by God to preach to Nineveh. Nineveh is a wicked city of 120,000 people, as we read earlier, a large city, and but one which had gone the wrong way, and they come and they repent and they are saved in the end. But Jonah is not happy about this, and this is the passage that we heard, this grumbling with God that he's decided to save these people despite their wickedness. And whilst we might think of Jonah as a bit of a coward running away from God's message, he's actually quite brave, because he challenges God in this conversation. And he said, I'd rather die than see the outcome of my preaching to these people. But God is there in his sovereignty. He's directed this story. He's directed the way things are going to happen. And he needs Jonah to do the job. And he's gracious and he's generous to both Jonah and to the people of Nineveh. So that's the background of that passage. God's working his plan out despite Jonah's disobedience. And he wants to save all and bring them back to him. A generous God. And so the teaching of Jesus in that passage from Matthew that we heard from Catherine, the workers in the vineyard, the vineyard owner is God's figure. The Lord is represented in this owner of the vineyard. Vineyard is one of the metaphors, one of the pictures we have for Israel. And of course it's unfair for the people who are hired for the last hour of the day to receive the same money, a full day's wage for doing very little, for coming late. And I'm sure we've all of us in our working lives been in a situation where we've been working as normal, working a full day, and there's always someone who comes in a little late in the morning, takes the extra 10 minutes at lunchtime, and then there's scorch marks on the carpet at 5 o'clock when everyone's time to go home. And they always seem to be the ones hanging around drinking tea and coffee when they should be working. We know what it's like to be those who have worked for a full day and others seem to get away with less. And I think our immediate response to this story is, of course it's unfair for those who've worked a full day in the sun. But God is sovereign. And looking at this passage again to prepare for this morning, it dawned on me that actually if we look at ourselves, our generation, living in the situation we are, for most of us indeed, and certainly speaking for myself, I've had to work far less hard for my money than someone in another part of the world. Someone who might have been born 100, 200, 300 years or longer ago. We are living in a blessed time and in a blessed place, really. A generation where there's been no world war, where we've had good health care, and when, generally speaking, the country has been prosperous and we have a democracy which we might criticise, but we're living in a safe place. So in a sense, we could look at that and think, actually, we're the ones who've come late to the party and have got all the riches and not having to do so much work. God has been generous to us. It's by God's grace and God's gift to us that we are in this time and in this place. And some might call this an accident of birth. But there's no accident in birth. God knows every hair on our head and every breath we breathe. He knows who we are, and he placed his every individual in the situation that he chooses. The time, the place where we are is God's gift to us. And it's something that we need to be thankful for, I think. God is generous, and he directs our paths, particularly if we lean on him rather than our own way of thinking. Psalm 18, verse 19 talks about God leading us out into a place of liberty from the darkness. He takes us out into a broad place because he delights in us. And the other blessing we have, not only time and place, we have the blessing of hearing God's message. Hearing God's message of good news in Jesus Christ. And we have the grace to, in our lives, to have accepted and responded to that message. So we're blessed in the time that we are born and live on this planet. We're blessed in the place that we were born and live. And we're doubly blessed by hearing the gospel and believing and responding to it. So when we look at these passages, we hear of those who grumble at God's sovereignty. Jonah grumbles that he's still alive. He's been saved from the big fish, saved to do good works for the Lord. And the workers in the vineyard grumble at the fact they've been paid what was agreed, the full day's pay for a full day's work. They grumble at others being more fortunate than them. And we grumble at others being more fortunate than us sometimes. We grumble at our lot. But it's time, I think, in my reflection to look at these passages and to say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us in our lives. Thank you for your direction of our lives and your generosity and your grace to us all. So some words, some reflections for the coming week. What can we do to give thanks to God for his generosity to us? How do we respond to that love in Christ? Whether we've worked a full day or whether we've worked only for the last hour, he's generous to us. So let's come and pray together. Let's pray. Father God, we want to give you our thanks for placing us here in this time and this place. We thank you that you come to us as individuals to find the best time and place to have your message of love and good news preached to us, so that we respond and say yes to that gift of love. We know that we're more than just pawns on a chessboard. We're deeply loved and cherished, each one of us, by you. And we say thank you, Lord, for embracing us with that love and giving us purpose and hope, particularly when the dark clouds overshadow us. You give us that beacon of light at the end of what might be otherwise a dark tunnel. And so in this attitude of thanksgiving, we bring our prayers for a needy world to you. Let's pray for others now in our prayers of intercession. So this week we pray in particular for the families of Madge and Aileen and Bronwyn, whose funerals are coming up. We thank you for their lives and for their witness. And we ask you to be close to those who are closest to them in their grief, in their uncertainty, in their doubts and in their faith. We ask you to bless them and send those to them to give them comfort and support. And casting our net of prayer wider, we pray for those in care homes, been under the spotlight at times during the COVID crisis, perhaps neglected a little to start with. We ask, Lord, that you continue to be with staff who do their best in trying circumstances, and with residents who may be lacking the support of families who are unable to visit. We pray for care homes we know locally, in particularly Bethany. And we ask for your blessing on all the work that all do in this sector. And Lord, we've heard of a crisis again at with the refugees in Lesbos, the camp destroyed by fire. Many thousands, tens of thousands affected by this disaster. We don't know how the fire started. We don't know how they can be living as they were, let alone as they are now, with no shelter, with autumn and winter approaching. So we pray for them and for those who work with them, for churches who are supplying blankets from this country, and for churches nearer who are helping to provide food. We pray for all those who flee for fear of their lives or fear for their families. And we ask you to enable a better outcome for them all. And finally, once more, we turn our prayers to governments internationally, nationally and locally, that their decisions might be wise, that their direction might be compassionate and just, and that they too may have the courage to do what is right for us all. And so we'll be quiet for a moment as we bring our own personal prayers to the Lord before we join together with the Lord's Prayer in a moment. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So we gather our prayers together in the words that Jesus taught us to say. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
And so our last song together this morning is Before the Throne of God Above, a plea to God, a song of worship. Let's praise God together. Thank you. Father, we thank you that you bless us in so many ways. And we ask that you send us out into this week with all its sorrows, joys, uncertainties and hope, knowing that you're beside us every step of the way. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Mark, for bringing us the message today. We have one or two notices. Trevor, would you just like to say what the arrangements are for Bronwyn?
Funeral for Bronwyn will be on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, at 12:30 at the crematorium. But due to present restrictions, it will be limited to just family members only. Hopefully, there will be a live stream of the service, and as soon as I have details, I'll get that circulated to everybody that wishes to receive it.
Thank you, Trevor.
The other thing we did mention at the beginning, so I don't know how many heard, but we do request prayers for the Reverend Romeo Pedro and his wife Farita. Farita has tested positive with COVID, and Romeo is also showing some symptoms, so they are both.
But he's negative.
But he's been tested negative, strangely enough. But they are obviously both self-isolating at this present time.
Thank you for that, Trevor. As Mark mentioned, we have got two other funerals at the church this week. Madge Brown on Monday at 1 p.m. and Aileen White on Thursday at 11:30. Again, however, because of the restrictions on numbers, if you haven't already made arrangements for being at the church, then unfortunately numbers and the restrictions are that no more will be able to attend, but we would welcome your prayers at those times for those who are gathered for those funerals. Ride and Stride, Stephanie wanted me to say that she has raised, and she will be shortly sending off a total now of £240 for the Ride and Stride Northampton Historic Church's Trust. And I think her feet have healed now, so that's good news.
Well done, Stephanie.
Yeah, well done. Well done. Well done.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Service next Sunday, the 27th, is again a virtual service. Martin will be bringing us the message. And because of the changes with Zoom security, next Sunday, you will need to use the passcode 8181 to join the service. That is something which is enforced on us by Zoom rather than something which is by our own choice. Everybody should have received an email with those details in. I intend sending a further email out this week. So hopefully everybody will know and nobody will be prevented from joining us because of that next Sunday. And we have our prayers on Monday, Wednesday and Friday at 11 as usual. Any other notices or messages anybody wishes to?
I've got one.
Yeah.
I'm busy knitting blankets for the refugees in Lesbos. If anybody has got any spare wool that they don't want, if they could let me know, because I'm finding it quite difficult to find wool. So I'm more than happy to collect it. It doesn't matter what it is, I can knit it. So if anybody's got anything that they don't want, just let me know. Thank you.
I've got some knitted squares. Would you like those?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
That was Norma, was it?
That was Norma, yes. My husband knitted them, and they're sitting in a bag for all these months, years.
Oh, please, Norman. Yeah, I'll come and collect them. I don't know where you live, but I'll come and collect them.
Well, I'll have to look for them.
Yes, okay. Well, let me know when you found them, and I'll come and collect them.
Okay, thanks.
I'm knitting bits for them, if you want. It's only a little bit, but I appreciate this. So if you want to pick it up.
Who was that?
Ruth.
Ruth. Yeah.
Okay. Is the Girls Brigade meeting this week? Girls Brigade meeting this week?
I think they're meeting every week, but with this different set of girls each time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think this is the first week back, isn't it, Noel?
No, they met last week.
They did meet last week, did they?
Yeah.
Catherine said this morning what the words they were going to use if they get too close to each other was back off, Boris.
Back off, Boris.
Okay. But communication isn't brilliant. There are still people out there who don't understand all the regulations. I had somebody phone me yesterday wanting to know if they could hire the church hall for a birthday party. They appeared to be oblivious to the fact of you couldn't have more than six people gathering together. So, I think one of the things we should pray for is that people do understand. It seems incredible that message hasn't got across to people yet, but that was something that confused me on the call. So, anybody else has?
What's the name of his beard? Can't.
If not, then well. Good morning. Goodbye.
God bless.
God bless.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Thank you. Good to see everybody.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. 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 Bye.